Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Jeffersonians! It is Christmas Sunday. How crazy is that? I know I keep looking back and I keep remembering back in May, June, July, August, pretty much every single month, and I'm going, oh, this month's almost over. How crazy is that? And it's Christmas. So, holy smokes, this year went by super, super fast. For those of you who are wondering, this is the Jefferson State of Mind. It's a wonderful state of mind. It's a state of mind that everyone here in the North State should have. Because it's the best state of mind. Or is it? Oh, yes, it is. Right, Bob? This is the best state of mind to have.
Absolutely.
That is Bob, our producer. And we do not have the bear today. The bear must have gotten into a little too much honey last night or something like that. So he's down for the count today. So it's just going to be me. I do apologize to everybody. This means you're going to get a history lesson. I'm waiting for the class and the cheers. I'm not getting any, though.
Woohoo!
Oh, there we go. We're getting some. It's going to be a little bit hit and miss because I found out at about 6:30 this morning that I'm going to be on here all by myself. So that's always fun. That's always my favorite part. But this is Christmas Sunday, so we're going to be playing Christmas music for you guys. And as soon as I find it, I heard an amazing rendition of The Night Before Christmas. But it was about American soldiers meeting Santa Claus on Christmas Eve. So I'll have that playing for you guys a little bit later. And then I'm also going to be having Tracy Mann, who was involved with Common Core here in Shasta County, calling in at about 8:15 or so. And she's going to talk to us a little bit about Common Core. I know that's something a lot of our listeners have probably heard about ethereally, whether they're involved with Common Core in their own counties or whether they have children in school and all that fun stuff. But the reason why I want to have her on is because education is so important. Education, is, of course, is what we teach our kids, and what our kids are taught when they're young is what they emulate when they're older. And this, I think, is shown most radically in recent violent movements here in the United States. I mean, not to bring up Ferguson yet again, but a young man was killed. The officer was blamed for it. When it got to the grand jury, there was no indictment given because there wasn't enough evidence. It's that simple. You know, I don't have to see all the evidence to know that if an entire grand jury did not indict him, there wasn't enough evidence. And yet the best way to remember Michael Brown apparently is to create protests across the nation, burning down businesses and terrorizing other people with families. Is that what we're teaching our children? Is that what we want them to emulate when they grow up? Is that an acceptable way to protest what our government or what our judicial system has done? Absolutely not. So that's why education is so important. That's why we really need to teach our kids the importance of things that have happened before our generation and then what is happening with our generation and with their generation, because everything builds on itself and there are repercussions to actions. There really are. And I don't want to pop anybody's bubbles, but, you know, the United States isn't the most racist country in the world. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. Just my experiences of being outside of the United States and the things that you see that other countries and other individuals find completely acceptable, and your jaw is just on the floor. So we'll talk about that later as we talk about education and as we kind of delve into two particular American history eras, namely the American Revolution, because I want to talk about a couple of books that I have had the privilege of reading and of studying and of doing theses on. And that is Leap in the Dark by John Ferling, and that's regarding the American Revolution. The subtitle of it is The Struggle to Create the American Republic. And then another book that is very few people have ever heard of, which just blows my mind, and that is The Political Crisis of the 1850s by Michael Holt. And the thing about that book, of course I read it for an antebellum history class, is how relevant it is to today. When I was reading through that book, I was sitting there going, that's the Republican Party. That's the Democrat Party. Oh, Whigs. Oh, Whigs. You're silly. So I'm going to go through a little bit about those books later on and relate it to education, relate it to Common Core, relate it to the state of Jefferson. And that's really the theme of today. So if you have any questions or comments, please call in at 605-4567. Save me from my solitude. No, I'm teasing. I have Bob. Everything's okay. Got a snicker. So again, call in at 605-4567 or visit us online in our chat room at kcnr1460.com. But to make sure that everything flows today, we're going to take a few more breaks. We're going to go every 10 minutes instead of every 15 because I'm going to need a lot of water. Okay.
You get more Christmas music that way.
And you get more Christmas music. This is Christmas Sunday. So we're going to pop on off to our first break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, riding down Santa Claus' lane. Blitzen, blitzen, all here's a reindeer pulling on a rein. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. Hang your stockings and say your prayers, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
So, Brenda, guess what?
Oh, what now?
Boomer Tech Radio is changing a little bit again.
Oh, my gosh. Just like keeping up with technology. Can't keep up with Boomer Tech Radio.
Right now, every Saturday from noon until 2 o'clock, you can listen to Boomer Tech Radio for 2 hours back-to-back right here on KCNR 1460. And we are brought to you every week by
Advanced Automotive.
Safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. So listen every Saturday for Boomer Tech Radio noon to 2 right here on KCNR 1460.
It'll help you keep up with technology.
The weather outside is frightful, but the wine over on the west side is delightful. Westside Wines at 1872 Buenaventura is your new hotspot for holiday cheer. Whether you are a wine newbie or you really know your vintages, the wine educators at Westside Wines can help you find that perfect bottle. From beautiful Bordeaux to crisp Chardonnays, their rare boutique finds will surely delight you. Westside Wines wishes you a sparkling Christmas.
This is Wade Riggs. I'm speaking with Bruce Blake, the president of Powerhouse Solar. His company was selected to retrofit the historic Lorenz Hotel in downtown Reading.
It's a very exciting project to be part of. They called us early on. One of the requirements was that they had to have 90% of usable roof area needed to be solar and to offset the load of the Lorenz Hotel. We had to go through custom engineering and design to come up with a system that gave us the maximum amount of solar panels on that roof to give the max amount of exposure and output.
What do you attribute to the continued success of Powerhouse Solar?
I think it's because my wife's and my passion towards this industry. We believe in it. We have it on our own home. We're living proof that it works. And for us, it's a lifestyle that we want to promote and encourage. We love the idea that, you know, yes, there is a problem in the world, that we have an energy problem, but the solution comes up every morning.
Commercial or residential, call Powerhouse Solar at 275-5600 or visit them on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind. I could let that song go on forever. It just reminds me of my childhood. I love that song. You would even say it close. This is the Jefferson State of Mind. If you have any questions or comments throughout the show, please feel free to call in at 605-4567. Yeah, 4567. Or visit us online in our chat room at kcnr1460.com. And we do have Tracy on the line. Good morning, Tracy. How are you today?
Good morning, Kayla. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Frantic phone calls around 7 this morning.
It's all good.
All right. Well, Tracy, For all of you who are just now tuning in, because it is Christmas morning, we are sleeping in today. This is Tracy Mann. She's with Shasta County and the Common Core. And what we want to talk about is, what is Common Core? How did it come about? You know, what can we do to, you know, either stop it or to get our kids out of it as we're in the process of stopping it? Really just all the basic details that folks need to know.
Well, first of all, the federal government's been trying to take over the Education Department for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was, in about 2007, there were five people that actually started writing the Common Core: David Coleman, Susan Pimentel, Jason Zimba, Phil Doro, and William McCollum. And what happened was, this little group decided to have an idea, and they approached Bill Gates about it in about 2008. And Bill Gates was all excited about this, and he decided to fund a lot of the stuff that's been going on in the Common Core. And as the time progressed, Arne Dunk in the Education Department, they all felt that this was a great idea for the federal government to actually come in and swoop in and make this deal with these states. The stimulus money was there.
Mm-hmm.
Arne Duncan took the carrot and decided to throw it in front of the states. So basically, about 2009, about 49 of the states, and I could be wrong about the number, 49, about 49 of the states signed on. And unfortunately, they didn't sign on because they didn't know what they were signing on to.
Mm-hmm.
They never even finished the standards being written yet. So they had no idea what they were signing on to, but they did it. They took the money. Some states took the money. Some states didn't even get paid. As time goes on, those five people were starting to get involved with changing the curriculum in the back end. So we were all lied to. Mm-hmm. The unfortunate thing is it happened. Schwarzenegger signed on to the Common Core standards in 2009. So it did actually start. The contract was signed, and that's when the state of California actually started. And what I really want to let people know is there's three portions to this. There's the curriculum that they wrote,
mm-hmm.
there are the standards that they wrote, the curriculum, and the assessments. And all three of those are just unreal. The assessments aren't even attached to the curriculum. The assessments actually do research, behavior change, and the data that they are gathering from these assessments are unreal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really scary. I can't stress how much I want parents to really dig into and get informed. I really think that they don't know that their schools are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the schools aren't even calling it Common Core. Some of them are saying they're piloting a new program. Some of them are using names like Everyday Math. I know ours was using Everyday Math. And as a parent, you need to really take a look at the curriculum that's being used. Each district has a choice to use their own curriculum. And some schools have implemented Common Core fully. Some have not implemented it as much as they should. The assessments, on the other hand, 95% of these assessments have to be done before the school gets paid. So,
and what's part of the assessments?
The assessments are the state's got two choices. When the standards were actually made, Arne Duncan had given the states an option. You can either use two parts or two places that actually came up with the assessments. You have PARC,
mm-hmm.
which is over on the other side, and then we have Smarter Balance. Smarter Balance is what California, the state of California, is actually using. So Smarter Balanced is actually, these assessments, they say they are actually what they are showing the kids, how they are learning and what they're learning. And the teachers are supposedly involved with this as well. They are not allowed to sit behind the kids. They are not allowed to, they don't even know the test. Parents aren't even allowed to see the test. These tests, if you even go in and approach the teachers about them now, they will flat out tell you that they do not know anything about the tests. So these tests are actually psychological. They're using psychometric testing. They're also doing surveys which is unreal, behind our backs. And I think a lot of the parents don't understand that our FERPA law, it's called the Family Education Right and Privacy Act, was mm-hmm. rewritten for them to get this type of data from the children's. Like I said, I think parents really need to take a look at the law, because the act was put into place to drop our rights as parents for the protections. And so when you talk about the Common Core, I think a lot of people think, well, it's just the curriculum. No, it's not. The curriculum was just a way for them to get in to teach the way that the government wants to teach. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of people say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, the government took over.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big problem. I think once people start realizing that the government has taken over teaching what they want to teach, when they want to teach it, the standards are not to be changed. We cannot change the standards. The standards are copywritten. I think a lot of the schools feel that they have local control and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think parents are kind of going, oh my gosh, you know, their homework's changing. They do not know how to help their kids with the homework.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are just too busy. But I seriously think our rights are being taken away on this. And I think parents really, I cannot stress enough how much parents really need to get informed. Go to your school board. Mm-hmm. Go to your teachers and just ask them, what is this? See what kind of answers you're going to get. I would suggest parents also look into truthinamericaeducation.com. They start you off really well of showing you information. There's homeschooling. Charter schools have also been hit. So any schools that have any linkage for federal funding are hit pretty bad. You are required to do this, which is really hard, I think, for a lot of people, because you feel that the education department has, you trust them. And there's a lot of good teachers. It has nothing to do with the teachers. Some teachers do like it, but if they do like it, I don't think they know truly about it. So,
okay. What are some of the key differences between the things that our children are being taught today under the Common Core standard and what they were taught, say, 10, 20, 30 years ago?
Well, I think right now, for instance, our history book, David Coleman, one of the five writers, is actually now the president working at the College Board. The College Board actually puts out your SATs and your APs. He's actually rewriting the SATs and the GED to graduate high school. So he's rewriting. You got to realize that the connections these people have now. Now that they wrote the Common Core state standards, they went off and decided to do rewriting of our English standards, rewriting mm-hmm. of our history books. The history is unreal. Your English language arts, let me go back to the history. The history takes out your Vietnam War. It takes out everything that you and I know about, at least we... of course, it started back when we were going to school, but they really mm-hmm. did it on this one. They take out Gettysburg Address. The Constitution's not taught. They're teaching anything they want to teach, and unfortunately, they're telling the teachers that this is exactly what you're teaching to these guidelines. Now, the teachers do have, they can teach far and above that if they want to, but the unfortunate thing is they're not going to have time.
Yeah, but I say, if you're teaching to the test, and you're not going to be able to extrapolate from all the other issues. If it's not going to be on the test, it's not important.
And it's all about social injustice, and that's mm-hmm. the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize. I mean, it's unreal. It's so different, and I think a lot of parents need to ask that question to the teachers. You know, because a lot of them, I don't think, like this. I know that a lot of the teachers probably feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm a teacher. I've learned this, and, let me teach it. The unfortunate thing is they're starting to realize that they have no control of what they're actually teaching. So there's three portions, and I got to let people know that mm-hmm. it's the standards, the curriculum, and the assessments. So basically, I think the curriculum and the standards were a diversion for the assessments. I really, truly feel that the assessments are what the federal government really wanted. as people are sitting here looking and being shocked at what's going on with the curriculum, I think the assessments are being done behind our back. And like I said, with that FERPA law being rewritten, there are no rights for parents. The information that's being released is they're attached to CPS, they're attached to Secret Service, they're attached to the judicial system. Any type of behavior problems will show up before we even know about it. This information goes out, and
it's kept for the rest of their lives too.
This is a cradle to grave. They have what they call a P20W. It's actually preschool, 20 years old, and workforce. It's all connected. The information's not just staying in the United States; it's going national. The connections, go out to China. I think parents just have no earthly, and it has nothing to do with grades. There's no grades attached to these assessments. So the curriculum itself is bad. It's horrible. the guidelines, they can't change. They will change them as they see fit. So as they're doing research on our children, they'll need some more information, and they will actually change the standards. And then, of course, the states will have to change the curriculum. Well, they're changing the curriculum, too, as we speak. So they have full control over what our kids are actually doing.
Yeah.
Charter schools, like I said, are hit very hard. I hate to tell that to you guys. I know a lot of people enjoy the charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest you really take a closer look, opt out of the assessments.
How do you do that?
I have format or the American Justice of, or let's see, what's the name of it? Justice Institute, actually here located in California, will actually give you PacificJusticeInstitute.org, will actually have the forms created there for you. Opt out of those assessments. Like I said, look into it, get informed. We also have our own Facebook, Shasta County Against Common Core, for parents that want to join and keep up on all the information that's going on. We are attached all throughout California. We are also attached on different states, so we are getting updated on what other states are doing. New York implemented Common Core 4 years prior to California, and they're having a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. I suggest parents really take a closer look at what's really going on with their schools. Go to the school boards, ask the teachers, ask the county, Shasta County School Board, what is going on. Start looking into this, and I think parents are going to start really being shocked. We also have FaithfulChristianServants.com, California Against Common Core, Orange County Against Common Core. All this is, you just need to get involved, and I think parents are just so busy. Find time to get involved, because I think you will be amazed at the brainwashing that is going on in their schools now.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really the key to a lot of it is as parents, how many families right now live on a single income? Can they live on a single income? So if both parents are working 8 to 10 hours a day, how do you focus on your kids' education when you get home? All you want to do is spend time with your kids.
Exactly.
So I think it's a societal thing that's caused the government to be able to step in so sweepingly to where people can't actually know what's going on all the time with their children's education.
Exactly, and I think that was definitely a thing that the government had in mind. I mean, you got to realize that the stimulus money that was handed to these states, in 2009, where was our economy? Our economy was low, so the states took the money. Every time we give out information to the federal government, the district, your school district, gets paid. So it's kind of interesting how they're setting this up. So it's all about money. Yes, I agree. I think there are two parents usually are working to support a family nowadays, but that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted this to, they snuck it in perfect. It was a bunch of people. Bill Gates is behind this with the computer stuff, and I think a lot of people don't know about the technology end of this.
I would say he's about to make a lot of money because every kid's going to have one of those tablet thingies now.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. And you have no idea what the interfaces on those computers are actually.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing. You ask the school where they get their computers, and they say, oh, well, we get them in a large shipment.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just kind of going, okay, what kind of interfaces are on that? What really are those computers? I mean, like I said, Bill Gates funded a lot of this. He funded the state longitude data systems with all of the states talking to each other, giving this information to each state. And like I said, this is behavior. They are going to change the behavior of your children. And that's really important when you really kind of think about the whole thing. And the government's got full control of our children right now. So, you know, CPS is connected, and I think a lot of parents don't have a clue about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a behavior change in your child taking the assessment. Maybe he didn't want to take the assessment really well that day, and he lied about some questions. And it alters. So it alters to each child's behavior and each child's question. So it's not the same test as Susie Q sitting in the, you know, the same classroom. This is unreal. This is something that you guys got to realize that technology has now caught up to what the government wants.
Yeah.
And it's now in our school systems. So, you know, I sincerely hope parents get involved. Get worried. You should be. Get connected with all of us. We are trying to fight it to get it out of the state, out of our county. We are trying to get it out of the county first and then go up to that level to the state. So there's a lot of people behind us, and I think a lot of parents need to just try to, you know, your kids are your number one. You know, your family mm-hmm. should be number one. The government made it hard for people to feel that way now. I think homeschooling right now is one of the number one things that I've noticed a lot of parents are doing is pulling their kids out of schools, which is a very good option if you can do it. If you can't do it, I would suggest you opt out, get involved, look at the curriculum, start complaining to these teachers, start complaining to the school board itself, start complaining to the county. I just totally get involved. Make the meetings. We meet Fridays at Good Times Pizza.
Okay.
You know, and that's the thing is if you can't get involved, even just looking into it, getting informed, I think you're going to find yourself that gut instinct of a parent that tells you, this ain't going to work for me. And I think you'll find out that more parents are going to fight more than anything else.
Yeah, and that's what parents really need to do. We're actually going to be rolling off onto a break. Do you want to hang over for a few more minutes?
If you would like me to hang over, yes.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. I mean, you're on a roll, so I'm just like, all right, let's go. This is info. But we'll go ahead and roll right into a break real quick. If there's anybody out there with any questions about Common Core right now, call in at 605-4567 or visit us online in our chat room at kcnr1460.com. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own. More than you could ever know. Make my wish come true.
United States Navy Captain John Brigelli, forward deployed with the U.S. 7th Fleet in Yokosuka, Japan, and proudly serving in the Asia-Pacific area of operations. I want to wish my family and friends in Red Bluff, California, happy holidays. Thank you for your support, and thanks to all Americans who backed the U.S. Navy.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, we have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night in the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation with clean, comfortable cabs. Give us a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange sells a wide variety of freeze-dried emergency foods. But in times of crisis, all you need to do is add hot water. To help you heat that water, the Patriot now carries the Sun Rocket Solar Water Heater and Thermos. This amazing compact device can heat to a boil 2 cups of water in just over an hour using just ordinary sunlight. Use it in meal preparation, melt snow for drinking, and eliminate Giardia and other waterborne bacteria through heat pasteurization. It's ideal for camping, picnics, and sporting events, and essential in any home or auto emergency kit. Remember, peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Redding, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way, next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And in Palo Cedro, we're in the Holiday Marketplace. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back. This is the Jefferson State of Mind, and we're talking to Tracy Mann right now about Common Core, especially here in Shasta County. So we've got probably about 5 more minutes with her, so if anybody has any more questions about Common Core, please, please, please call in at 605-4567. Although I'm sure we will have Tracy on again in the early part of the new year to really dive into Common Core, because we only have an hour, and she's probably got, what, 15 to 20 hours of of information back there.
Yeah, I have quite a bit. I wanted to let people know, too, that it's not just these assessments. The government's taken full control. So the kids are actually doing surveys as well. These surveys are actually handed out. They're pretty scary. They're called Healthy Kids Surveys. Mm-hmm. And what Obama decided to do was sign a another type of a program, and it's actually a safety and violence program that our kids are doing. And like I said, our Privacy Act was taken away. The safety modules that are Healthy Kids, which are run through what they call West Ed, mm-hmm. it's located here in California, but they do the surveys across the nation. These surveys are unreal. They will flat out ask the students, how many drinks your parents drink a night? Do they drink alcohol? How many guns do they have? I mean, mm-hmm. this gets very personal. And these are surveys that are handed out anonymously. They don't have to sign their name. But you got to realize that they can connect the dots in the back end of these.
Yeah.
This West Ed is actually doing our local control funding for our schools in the state of California. So they're controlling the amount of funds that are coming to our schools and our school districts. So the surveys are part of the funding. They have to do this for 3 years. If the schools are not doing the climate control, they call them climate control, mm-hmm. For 3 years, the schools will not get the funding. So you got to realize that they're alternating our curriculums, the surveys that are being passed out, the assessments. All of these things go into a database. They get connected to your child. West Ed is connected to a place called AIR. AIR is one of the largest research, behavioral research places in the nation. Mm-hmm. So the connections are just unreal, and it's scary. All our personal identification is being attached to this. What kind of family we are, this is all attached. I have proof and documentation of all of this, and I just cannot get parents to open their eyes enough to realize mm-hmm. that your information is going out as well. How good of you are you as a parent? And are you? Do you sit down with your kids for homework? Do you actually talk to them? And I'm finding out that the alcohol, tobacco, and firearms are connected to this. CPS, Homeland Security. Mm-hmm. All these places are connected to our personal data, our personal families. And this is what's really scary is yeah. they are going to control, and they are going to start really paying attention to what kind of parents we really are, you know, and they're going after, like I said, people that are busy. Mm-hmm. They're going after immigration. They want to see how we tick. They want to see how our family ticks. They want to see how we think. And they're using all this data and combining it, and it's all being attached.
Oh, wow.
So, It's a very scary thing, and I really stress, mm-hmm. people look into this. Parents look into it. Grandparents look into this. It's a lot bigger than what you are thinking, and mm-hmm.
And that's why we have to have you back on, because there is so much to this. You can't just get it in half an hour, even an hour show. You have to continually hear all the updated information and everything else that's involved with it, because it's constant. It's very fluid.
Yes, and I don't mind the phone calls. You know, people mm-hmm. can call. People can come to the group.
And when do you meet again? What pizza parlor is that?
We meet at Good Times Pizza.
And that's here in Reading?
It is actually in Palisadro area.
Oh, okay.
You can go to our webpage. It's actually a Facebook page at Shasta Against Common Core.
Okay.
And Shasta County Against Common Core. And like I said, get involved. It is just so important for parents. This is where parents need to be parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time to swallow it and just say, you know what, I'm busy, but make the time. This mm-hmm. is parents come first, and the government wants to make sure that you are not first. They want to take control of your child. They feel that we are not good parents in the nation, and they're definitely going to try to make a way in. And possibly, you know, what's scary is they're going to be, unfortunately, making their judgment on whether you are a good parent or not.
Mm-hmm.
So I strongly suggest parents get involved. And like I said, questions, I have no problem taking any questions and face the school board.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. So again, that's Shasta County Against Common Core, and that's a Facebook page. And then they can also get the opt-out forms at pacificjustice.org.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And you guys meet at Good Times Pizza on Fridays at...
I think our next meeting is going to be on the 2nd of January, because
okay.
I think this Friday is, of course, Christmas, so we're taking 1 week off.
Mm-hmm.
But we usually meet about 5:30.
Okay.
And if the group gets any bigger, we will make an effort to move it.
Well, hopefully it will get bigger, because more people need to get involved.
So. I hope so, too.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tracy. And we'll have you back on in January to give us continual updates on what's going on and how people can continue to be involved in that.
Well, thank you so much, Kayla.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that actually rolls directly into some of the information that I had with the American Revolution, of all things. One thing that Adam said during the American Revolution is in reference to the Stamp Act, but this goes into every single governmental aspect today. And he said, if we are voluntarily silent, the tools of administration will interpret America's silence as acquiescence. In that instance, we are undone and reduced to a state of perfect despotism. So if you care about your children's education, you have to be involved and you have to speak up. You can't just sit back and say, oh, they'll figure it out, or, oh, it's not that bad, because they will interpret your silence as acquiescence and they will take advantage of it. And it's really that simple. Again, that actually is a quote from Adams, but I'm reading out of A Leap in the Dark, and it's the struggle to create the American Republic. And the reason why this book is so amazing to me in reading is because of what's going on here in the state of Jefferson. A lot of people are afraid to take that leap in the dark. They really are. And it's not like we're trying to overthrow a government. Because we're not. We're not overthrowing a government. We're simply trying to create a government under the American Constitution, one of the greatest constitutions in the world. When de Tocqueville came to the United States after the French Revolution, the reason why he came was to figure out why democracy worked in the United States, but it didn't work in France. He wanted to know why the Americans were different from the French. And it's not just because we're Americans and they're French. That's not why it worked. It worked because we were a republic. We weren't a straight-up democracy. I mean, the French actually legalized murder at one point, okay, because the majority of the people wanted it. Does that make it right? No. So we were a republic, and that's what gave us our strength, is in a republic, you have the voice of the people, and you have representatives. You have a House and you have a Senate. When we overturned the Senate with Reynolds v. Sims, we became a democracy. Well, folks, look at California. It's been 50 years. Are we turning into France after the French Revolution? Are we still like America after the American Revolution? And it's really that simple. It really is. But we're going to roll off into another break real quick, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to give you some quotes out of the political crisis of the 1850s because it's very apt to what's going on in our political atmosphere today, in every aspect of government, whether you're worried about education, whether you're worried about the state of Jefferson or your economy, immigration. Immigration's a big one right now. What's going on with that, huh? So we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is 605-4567, and we're also in the chat room at kcnr1460.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call. It's the happiest season.
Do you think that the government is going to take care of you?
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSense. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One day to renew all your prescriptions. For 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time, save gas, save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS, and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy. Making your life easier.
There's nothing like being home for the holidays, yet our animal shelter is full of wonderful dogs and cats that may not have a home of their own this holiday season. During the months of November and December, Haven Humane Society is challenging the community to give 200 shelter pets a home for the holidays. Adoption fees are discounted up to 50%. Please give a shelter dog or cat a place to call home this holiday season. Follow our challenge on Facebook and visit Haven Humane Society at 7449 Eastside Road to bring home the greatest gift of all this holiday season.
Join the conversation in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Greeting cards have all been sent. The Christmas rush is through. I still have one wish to make, a special one for you. Merry Christmas, darling.
Welcome back to the Jefferson State of the Mind. And today we were talking about Common Core. We've talked a little bit about history. I probably won't get to all the notes that I actually had. So if you guys want to hear about Russia and my experience there, you'll have to tune in next week or the week after. But right now we're going to talk a little bit about the political crisis of the 1850s. It is a book by Michael Holt. M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Holt, H-O-L-T. And it is one of the most amazing books that I have ever had the privilege to read. And it was for a class in my master's degree. And I have so many tabs in it, I'm actually breaking the binding of the book. It's that good. But for those of you who know me and know that I take notes, you're probably not entirely surprised. But I pulled out a few quotes. 6 quotes, actually. And the reason why I did is because I've told people for years, as I go through my historical studies, the examples from the 1840s and the 1850s reminds me of the 1990s and the 2000s. Like everything, history repeats itself. You hear this all the time of how history is repetitive and the only thing that changes is the people and the places and the time. And that is very true. And as we look at our political parties today, I'm going to knock on them for quite a while, actually, for the next about 5 minutes or so. I'm going to just beat the living crap out of them. But that's not to say that if you're a Republican or a Democrat that, you know, you can't continue to be that because, you know, I really don't care what your political leanings are. I'm just going to tell you what history tells us of political parties and why they don't work. And it's not a popular subject, so I expect to make a lot of people unhappy, but it needs to be said. So we're going to start with the first quote, and this one is probably the most apropos. It said in the book, as long as the parties seemed different from each other. They're talking about the Whigs and they're talking about the Democrats. As long as the parties seemed different from each other, voters viewed them as viable vehicles through which to influence their government. And that's the Republican and the Democrats today. We think that they're different, but under a Democratic president in Congress, is government getting bigger? Yes. How about under a Republican Congress and a Republican president? Is the government getting bigger? Did we just do a $1.1 trillion spending bill? Yes, we did. So is the government getting bigger? Is it getting smaller? Is it stagnating at the ginormous size that it is? Do they still seem different? Are they actually different? How do our Republicans stand on immigration? How do Democrats stand on immigration? Is there an obvious difference or are they the same? What about on the welfare state within the United States? Right, wrong, or different to how you feel about the welfare state, but are Republicans the same or different? What is the difference between these two groups? Because the reason that I say this is because in the 1850s, what destroyed the second party system was consensus, not conflict. The reason why the Whigs actually split in two, creating what we know today as the Republican Party in 1854, was not because Democrats and Whigs were in conflict. It's because they agreed with one another. And what do we hear about today, especially with our young people? Third party, whether it's libertarian, whether it's green, whether it's independent, we always hear young people go third party. And it's because of consensus, not conflict. Now, the parties did not resolve the sectional conflict or even avoid it. Okay, in the 1840s and 1850s, you have all the compromises over the expansion of slavery, which is not an issue we really have today, although we continue to have the racial tension of it. But the parties didn't resolve that at all. Instead, they exploited it for partisan purposes. Okay, well, I just said that we don't have slavery issues, but we have the racial tension still. Are the parties exploiting that racial tension? That should be a resounding yes. They are absolutely using that racial tension to exploit partisan purpose by running very different campaigns in the opposing sections. So when you hear speeches of our illustrious president in Chicago, is it different than when he's in Boston? YouTube it. Find it out for yourself. Do people say different things to different groups in order to run partisan elections and all that? Absolutely. Now, this is very interesting because we talk a lot about voter turnout. From the late 1840s on, growing numbers of men became disillusioned with the Whig and Democratic parties. Now, of course, at that time, very, very few women in the United States actually had the right to vote. But they did. There were several states that actually did allow it. But in the 1840s, they didn't. So why were these people becoming disillusioned? Is it because the parties were so similar they couldn't tell them apart? Absolutely. And by the end of 1852, the numbers of disillusioned voters were significant. Now, this is really important because the traditional party lines that had characterized the voting was on economic issues in the 1840s. Does that sound like today? However, by 1850 and 1851, that had all but disappeared from the 32nd Congress, which met during 1852. And by the presidential campaigns of 1852, neither the record of voting in Congress nor even the kinds of issues debated gave either party a distinctive economic program to take to the voters. Because there was no difference in the parties. Because they didn't know how to fix the economy because they were so similar. There wasn't enough voices. That did not disillusion all the voters, though. In fact, the apathy of many was translated into abstention on Election Day. Did we not just have an election where very few people turned out? What was it, 18% in California? Now, that's disillusionment if I've ever seen it. And although it was higher in 1848, the turnout in 1852 was so abnormally low when measured against the number of potential voters. So as I continue to say, you know, we're coming up on an era where we are repeating history to the utmost degree. So in the 1840s and 1850s, we need to have different parties. And that's where the Republican Party came in. Okay? It really is. So read The Political Crisis of the 1850s. Go buy a book and go read it. It's by Michael Holt. And it's amazing. And it will absolutely blow your mind. But I do have a little bit of a clip here that I really want to play for you guys. It is, oh, what's the title of it? It's called A Soldier's Night Before Christmas, and it's about 3.5 minutes long. But when I heard it on the radio the other day, it really made me think of our veterans overseas and our veterans here at home that are struggling. And this is for all of you guys, for all of our soldiers. Thank you for serving, and have a very, very Merry Christmas.
It was the night before Christmas. He lived all alone in a one-bedroom house made of plaster and stone. I had come down the chimney with presents to give, and to see just who in this dwelling did live. I looked all around, a strange sight to see. No tinsel, no presents, not even a tree. No stockings on the mantel, just boots filled with sand. On the wall hung pictures of far distant lands. Medals and badges, awards of every kind. A sobering thought came alive in my mind. This house was different. It was dark, it was dreary. I had found the home of a soldier. I could see that most clearly. The soldier lay sleeping, silent, alone, curled up on the floor in this one-bedroom home. His face was so gentle, the room in such disorder, not at all how I pictured a United States soldier. Was this the hero of whom I just read, curled up on a poncho, the floor for a bed? Then I realized the other families that I saw this night owed their lives to soldiers who were willing to fight. In the morning round the world, children would play. Grown-ups would celebrate a bright Christmas day. But they all enjoy freedom each month of the year because of soldiers like the one lying here. I couldn't help but wonder how many lay alone on a cold Christmas Eve in lands far from home. The very thought put a tear to my eye. I dropped to my knees and I started to cry. The soldier awakened. I heard his rough voice. Santa, don't cry. This life is my choice. I fight for freedom. I don't ask for more. My life is my God, my country, my core. The soldier rolled over and drifted asleep. But I couldn't control it and I continued to weep. I kept watch for hours, so silent and still, as both of us shivered from the cold night's chill. I didn't want to leave him on that cold, dark night. This guardian of honor, so willing to fight. Then the soldier rolled over, with a voice soft and pure. He whispered, "Carry on, Santa. It's Christmas Day, all secure." one look at my watch, I knew he was right. Merry Christmas, my family. May God bless you this night.
Wasn't that just beautiful? Oh, my goodness. I've been playing it probably once a day just so my son continues to hear it and think about that as our soldiers are overseas and everywhere that they are. So thank you to all of those who serve, all of those who have served. You know, enjoy your families this Christmas because there's a lot of people out there that don't have their families with them. This is the Jefferson State of Mind, and we want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. And we will be back next week and the week after that. So make this yours, Jeffersonians.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. The U.S. is asking China for help as it considers how to respond to the hacking attack on Sony Pictures. A senior Obama administration official says the U.S. and China have shared information about the attack, which America blames on North Korea, and that Washington has asked for Beijing's cooperation. China has considerable leverage over North Korea, but China has also been accused of carrying out cyber attacks itself. Cuban President Raul Castro says to Cuba's lawmakers that détente with Washington won't change the communist system.
Castro said Cuba will not abandon the ideas that it has struggled for in order to improve relations with the United States. Castro's speech Saturday to Cuba's National Assembly was a sharp contrast to President Obama's year-end news conference Friday. Mr. Obama said he expects Americans to encourage reform in Cuba's one-party system. Castro confirmed he would attend the Summit of Americas in Panama in April.